Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the April 2023 edition of Poet Radio on WGXC. My name is Chris, and I decided to delve into archival recordings and freewheel some poetry for you, DJ style. This show is going to be a combination of recent readings, some pre-pandemic Hudson Valley material, and selections from two Russian-American poetry festivals I attended at Stevens Institute in Hoboken, New Jersey in the 1990s, documentation of which can be found on my Penn Sound page. We'll get things going with Alice Notley reading at the New Freedoms, a festival of Russian and American poetry and poets in Hoboken, April 1994.
This is how spring comes. Toys and rows, the zoo body zigzags. I think fish, too. But I'm a polite social being. I'm a ladle lady or purple and blue. I write green letters and gold editorials for the Crystal Oxygen Company. I have one hip, as far as I can see, that I see as I write, say, white t-shirts upside down, turn them around and put them on your muscles, my angels. Or a semicolon is blue window to me. Is that a haiku? I fly over San Diego in someone or another real despair and ask you to comfort me. You more or less do. You aren't even here. My best me, my worldly me, my taste of spring, my continuance, my comfort. Will you comfort me? I offer you my heart over Tucson. I can't use it. Take it to comfort me. Free me. Be it. Take it to be it. Which apparently you don't or take. You help provide me it, I think. That happens among true people. That poem I was writing, no good poem. But moment framed the Pleiades. The garnets ring more beautiful the longer you are waiting for me in them, where deity makes me friendly there. But who put on all the t-shirts in Hunter's Point? Well, we're all good boys. My son said so. A semicolon is a semi-precious garnet cluster telegram. What we love are such depths between all the messages past the salt, ladies of the tang, bubble of night. This book about Harry Truman is wonderful. I see the Gulf moon rising every night. I'm familiar with the zonked starfish. I have the sheen on under the fire escape railing, all streetlight lit. The hollow suddenly appeared to enlarge and fill with a bright light. Wild with the taste of wine, it does not remember the despair of an hour ago, which was true, that is, of a true woman. She was somehow hating her position on the round earth in the dusky sky on a harsh Sunday. On the ground, forgotten flower-like firmaments. She addressed in uneloquent hatred, smug life, the one who soothes one's foolishness, the great face construct who loves you for your kink's child anyway, the guru god. Oh, I will come back a knockout tomorrow, useless to you. You're not it, you smug face. I'm not doing your yoga, not wearing your moondrops, using your cream rinse, letting you me exquisite, like I was one of the ones with brains too, intelligence and panties with peekaboo holes. No, I'm coming back raw. I'm getting drenched in the rain. It's rain and it's wet. I'm soaked. I'm chilled and I'm coughing. The air's raw to my throat, which is raw from coughing, coughing so strong, coughing and laughing so strong from killing you. She didn't kill nothing. And I don't get to share no secrets with the stars. I make chow. I contemplate semicolons. I despair as a mother. I scream at that kid, I'm gonna crack open your big walnut if you don't go to sleep. Theories of grace that it implies no surprise, no shock. Ukrainian sudden on Sunday, speaking Ukrainian, the cross not Christian but gracious. And when I want to cry or cough violently, it must diffuse back into my embassy. Hard, that takes hard. And if it weren't for you, not you smug life face, but real you, please play cribbage, pass the salt. Think of a garnet black cabbage. A Ukrainian is selling it on 7th Street in honor of our marriage. A Spanish fan opens in my abdomen. I have Spanish dancers in my stomach. They're my arching, striving, and dance where it's black, red flowers darken to be huge, pleasuring the severe, tried angel who meets transition, transport, as abruptly as necessary, for everyone's are apt. Says the unassuming graceful, whose down hipness is that window, the dancer's sensuous flaw that admits spring, contingent upon our personality. Spring is for the worldly, just like the ha-ha room, just like dearest rock bottom suddenly gone buoyant. To be black geese, to be strenuous dancers, is not to dignify a passion, but to grip it. Not saints, but always pupils, pupils dilated, fully black, and full achievement of gut feeling, joy.
Alice Notley, circa 1994, on Poet Radio. Jumping from there to the present, earlier this month, Ada Limon, poet laureate of the United States, gave a sweet reading in the small town where I presently reside in northwestern Connecticut. The event occurred at the Ethel Walker School in Simsbury on April 10th.
This is a poem I wrote. It's about, to me, it's about friends. It's also about birds, but it's about friends. And I always think that, you know, you'd be surprised at how many poets write poems to bad exes. But they don't write poems to our friends that were there during all those exes. So if you need a prompt, write your friend poem. But it also begins with a bird, the magnificent frigate bird. Is it okay to begin with the obvious? I'm full of stones. Is it okay not to look out this window, but to look out another? A mentor once said, you can't start a poem with a man looking out a window. Too many men looking out a window. What about a woman? Today is a haunting. One last orange on the counter. It is a dead fruit. We swallow dead things. Once in Rio near Leblon, large seabirds soared over the vast South Atlantic. I'd never seen them before. 8-foot wingspan and gigantic in their confident gliding, black with a red neck like a wound, or hidden treasure, or both. When I looked it up, I learned it was the magnificent frigate bird. It sounded like that enormity of a bird had named itself. What a pleasure to say, I am magnificent. And two, they traveled as a team, so I wondered if they named each other. Generously tapping one another's deeply formed tail or their plumage, glistening with salt air, their gular sacs saying, you are magnificent. You are also magnificent. It makes me want to give all my loves the adjectives they deserve. You are resplendent. You are radiant. You are sublime. I am far away from tropical waters. I have no skills for flight or wings to skim the waves effortlessly like the wind itself. But from here, I can still imagine rapture, a glorious caught fish in the mouth of a bird.
That was Ada Limon, whose work we will return to again later on. Next up is a recording of Simone White, who one might hope will become poet laureate, which I made at the Hartford Public Library in November last year.
Having had no proper family name, I made do with Stingray. Never loved a man so called for more than a generation of black and white, suffered nameless conditions, instigated by the father's line of nobody, murmurs to the baby, good night, nobody. There is no longer any way to count beneath the highways of the eastern seaboard, above the Mason-Dixon line, underlie so many crossings. What to be the arched wing of a black stingray, who think, weeping over her vicious mouth, somnolent practice of stuck terror of the wave, is stingray the atomic principle of giantism? Make my whole mouth move around the fire, make the fire everywhere or cold. On this street, stingray, where a man thinking his boat, beauty, knowing monies or leather, white leather. Feeling, however, the killing power of the great sea monster. Her haunch whip, a think acquired, is a gorgeous capital. Wait and sting. Why? Odysseus always in trouble with the one. What caused his love of lake demons? Her gauze wimple under black-lit stars. His very early anticipation of the right guitar sound. Its fullness, no reunion of the ocean and the desert. Just reflect on the history of the house. 57 rays die in Chicago. For want of so lush a malapropism, I wait a long time outside the ocean and your body, sometimes nothing of images, dead brown and such, like luminous captivity of the dead, repeated back to our obsessional contemporary, says back a weird lie. When inside me, a bit of God comes out your mouth as the command to feel you, what kind creature will you take me from being to what?
That was an excerpt from Simone White's presentation at the Wallace Stevens Birthday Bash in Hartford last year, where she's reading from the poem Stingray, published in her book Dear Angel of Death. Zigzagging back to Hoboken, 1996, this is Jackson McClough.
Hey, a mind jump to section 16. This is 40s, 74. Hey, a mind blossomed. First joke. Water birds had drunk. See, animals breathe easy, swim freely. I'm thinking of you. Always out of sync. That carbonated stuff upset the stomach. Just then it began to rain. Soon they were off. Borax out of the desert. What's that smell? The great nitrogen cycle. Wow, bacteria. Filling and delicious. Reindeer browse outside, nibbling on the lichen on the tundra. The grinding O of America. Skateboards for the kids up north. Montana, a reign of terrace, mononymic customs, the mind a kitchen. A man that rhymes with meadow moves these tables around at the bang of a bell, shadow of a carriage return. Zeus arrives, birds go to Norway. The flesh is a week at Osable Canyon, curves of glass, crown full of shame. Catastrophic music on the front page, thunder, foregone accumulation. Automatic shutdown. The acid trip. The road is used as a structural device. An open book turned upside down. Special grace. A more anachronistic time of things. A leading authority. The funniest surgeon alive. Baddish good thoughts in the early morning finished arousing the heart. A tear crashed to earth. Mulberry sun and leather hands pointing up. Do not block the hinge underneath the design in parentheses. Turnkey transport delirium blister almost certain will recover the silver-haired stenographer's transition. The secret ingredient. The island is surrounded by water in the sky dance. One blue book, marigold nose rings, if you didn't know. Recognition. Prosperous ruin watched raindrops, they when you choose. Nothing is not nothing. Space the light alike before given long fiery streets, a tidal wave, other people's dreams. In the distance, liquid stars, an umbilical cord, dentist earthquake, a long skinny tail, a tiered waterfall, limpid music, you died a while ago, always at the same angle. A maze of low hedges, a turnstile riding the donkey back, the bliss of the natural state, heavy with form, exhilaration, formless, basically last words. Where is what how is? Let there be here, closed space. Beyond what is said, there is nothing. Bigger it has to curl up. Adamantine blackness, arena, a woods, alphabet blue flowers. The gift of a wall to a wall. Mahogany blossom, white absence of response, pollen baby boxes under ice lilies. No one breathes. Leftover stalks, lure that calls us back, though they are not. Power hangs in the balance. Birth of the joker, euchre, spider. Infernal crap behind the pantry walls. Hundreds of khakis. To be relieved is the most common prayer. Urban cool. Nobody knows but me, equilibrium drinks the odd no matter what. Jump to section 16.
Jackson McClough on Poet Radio. The reading recorded at Prospects, a festival of Russian and American poetry and poets held at Stevens Institute of Technology in May 1996. Now I'll play documentation of two events that transpired at T-Space in Rhinebeck, New York during summer of 2018. This is David Shapiro.
Poem for you. I am jealous of the sand beneath you, around you. what you see, bright things, gagged lady, sparkling and traveling without luggage, liquid liquidity before X. You were tattooed on my back. Dies down. I too grew up in the soft hands of the gods, and a little donkey will lead them. Tears, tears, and I know just what they mean. Honeysuckles at night. I wrote this poem for you and haven't lost it. And of course, part of my practice is music. So here's a little part of music. What is music? We wander through the park until we reach green, dirty ponds. You buy earrings. You lean your hair over our son and kiss him until he says, more. I learned something and leaned into it. This is the poem. Shyly he asked if he could write you poems. Can't remember her reply. I said, nothing is worse than unwanted poems. In the Navy, you may be prosecuted for unwanted poems. Or rather, sending or speaking through unwanted poems. Poor poetry. I always wanted to write that poem entitled Unwanted Poems. Maybe I've gone and done that as the unwanted poet.
Hi, Mama.
But look at the snow as gift. Hated by commuters, snow is finally loved. Snow is finally loved compared to poetry. There is an economy of snow hatred. Finally, the snow lightens and whirls like your teeth in your smile as you accept perhaps my necessary poems. I'll just read two, three more. Nothing rhymes in English with an orange. It stands alone with luster in a far tinge. It stands alone and seems to make a star cringe. On Saturday, it's blue like an orange or like a surrealist sight rhyme in a garage. But Rime Riche is rich enough for an orange. Still my doorman sings, put it away in storage. Orange replies, I'm drunk from my last bar binge. Half rhymes like hangovers suddenly impinge. But nothing rhymes in English with an orange. While my wife in French eats one in her nude lunch, poets singe an inch flap forward on a car hinge. It stands alone and seems to make a star cringe. Pronounce it orange and then expunge. So ends the story of the very violet orange. Nothing rhymes in nothing with an orange. It stands alone and seems to make a star cringe. And now I'll read you one last poem. This is for Bach, who got into such terrible trouble. It's also for John Haydick, my dear friend, who told me this. David, I had a dream last night. I must tell you, a big dream. Do you want to hear my dream? In the dream, a man was a rabbi, and his whole house collapsed. It collapsed around him, on top of him. His synagogue was completely destroyed. So he took a journey to find materials, but no one would give him anything. Each religious group rejected him. Nothing. Nobody. He had to find the materials to replace his house. And this is what I am going to do. Finally, he found someone who would give him something simple, a spoon, a fork. He started to rebuild his house. That is what I am going to do, David. But first I must study all the synagogues of the world. Then I will rebuild his house. Now I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. What do you think of my dream, David? Wasn't it a good dream? Thank you.
That was David Shapiro reading at T-Space in June 2018. Shapiro was the recipient of T-Space's 6th annual poetry award that year. And a month later, Monica De La Torre also read at T-Space. Here are some excerpts from her performance there.
Boxton.
Yes.
Heads up. False friends use familiarity as camouflage. In the source language, deciduous might be confused with apathy, but nothing could be further away from decidia than the timed impermanence of leaves. Yes, even forests engage in a form of family planning. We took for granted the tree outside our window until it failed to bud. A ginkgo, they cut it down when the building across the street went up. Since our view is limited, we'd like to imagine the situation from the missing tree's perspective. Given the recent turn of events, it might have resisted blooming. It was protesting its decorative use to boost property values. Or perhaps, after millennia of honing its particulars, it refused the magic of tree-lined streets. Concrete blocks these social beings' access to fungal networks, prevents the roots from interconnecting. Are you a reluctant loner like the specimens that surround us here today? I hope you understand I do not mean to ruin the relationship. Divagar. I'll start with a quote by Lynn Hajinian from the book Oxata. There's a lot of waiting in the drama of experience. No signal from the interface except for a frozen half-bitten fruit. Other than that, no logos. An hour is spent explaining to the group what I've forgotten to do with the mistranslation of a verb implying deviance. The next hour goes by trying to remember in the back of my mind the name of the artist who makes paintings on inkjets. Why I think of him escapes me as my gaze circles the space around the yoga bun of the tall woman in front of me. I didn't pay $20 to contemplate the back of her head. It's killing me, the plaster saints with their tonsures floating amid electronic sound waves. At such volume, they could crumble. The virgin safe in a dimly lit niche as the tapping on my skull and the clamor of bones or killer bees assaults the repurposed church. This is what I sought while in another recess I keep hearing Violeta Parra's Volver a los 17. And marches against the nonsense of arming school teachers. Much to excise, if I were an instrument, a bassoon. In the source language, we don't say spread the word. Corre la voz is our idiom, easily mistaken for a voice that runs. I'm in the back, but I can see the fingers gliding in sync with her vocalizations. How fitting her last name be Halo. Lucky for us here, time is measure and inexplicable substance. That's when I decide to stop fighting the city, use it in my favor, speak to strangers, demolish the work and the performance. So now I'm going to read from a book called The Happy End All Welcome, and it is set in a dystopian job fair. It's a very poetic place, as you can imagine. If you had to come up with a visualize it, one thing that might help is Jacques Tati's Playtime, in a way. Mm-hmm. It deals with architecture and design. And there's all kinds of jobs being offered at this job fair. One of them is for a furniture tester who's sitting in different chairs and taking notes of her experiences. And then there's a job for an architect. So I'll read you some of these pieces here. So let's see. View from an Aeron chair. This is by the prospective furniture tester. View from an Aeron chair. A half view of greenery cut off by blinds. Pine cones hanging in pairs like testicles. Brain balls, someone once said at a pool. We were in it looking up at a guy getting out. This angle replicates that one, but the view is more animated, less peopled. Disguise change-ups are reminders that this will not drag on forever, despite the ergonomic ease afforded by the seat, first devised for geriatric care, then stripped down. It seemed rational. If the elderly spent their days in recliners, so could others. Dot-commer, say, properly incentivized. And at least there is no symbolic logic with eliminance and retinence. No lasting premises either. We will be priced out of any area. No sooner than the conclusion is accepted as consequent and part and parcel of this universe of discourse, we'll come to realize the sense in having new places to leave. This is the chair's democracy, particularly this one with its form-fitting mesh, forsaking foam and padding, which cause overheating and cloud the sitter's judgment. It's recyclable, and that matters. Still, the office chair's revolution is an oxymoron. View from an Utrecht chair. What's to simplify forms? Two rectangles perform as armrests and front legs. No hind legs prop up the back. A play on angles. Another identical half rectangle, yet generously cushioned, acts as seat and back. Its structure shows sideways. It would be out of place in offices or institutional lounges. It's too quirky, too easy. Its low height wouldn't lead to any deliverables, only shameless idling. It is no site for escapism, though. Deep and narrow, it proved hard to get up out of for some. Plus, designed for higher latitudes, it stores presence asserting heat. A pair, however, would elevate a familiar conversation setting and might lead to stationary drifting. Its original upholstery was sailcloth, after all. With the exuberance of visible stitches, it says, I have been assembled. I traffic in utopias, in the zigzag rhythms of colors and geometries. In a corner of the room, almost overlooked, its side view hindered by a bedstand, had it not been for the rub-off of controlled conditions of display in a studio where the designer's clean, cantilevered, and primary colored designs waver between receiving the body and the gaze. View from a lounge chair. In the posture afforded by birch and the phantom of wartime, a black new moon sky would turn the ocean, surplus parachute straps latticed, invisible in the print it glimmers in moonlight, to form the seat and back hurtled into indeterminate, although above the water is a rectangle of black, sights by the soundscape of an approaching train, horns, if the moon is not in the picture then, and clacking rapidly, vanishing into the distance, it must be sharing the space with the viewer, and by an imposing oceanscape, matted, framed, where consequently this wartime lounge chair and suspended on the wall, bringing the outdoors in, or would be placed on a deck, a home's or a ship's, the indoors out, as the designer put it, though he meant supporting this reading as to the moon's placement, something else, non-decorative, a few must have really, truly lounged, is the shimmering horizon line, As to the chair at the airport, USO, and company waiting rooms, it first was in. In judging furniture, appearances are perforce inconclusive. And I'm going to end.
Life, as I understand it, is sad, beautiful, and everything in between.
What? Life, as I understand it, is sad, beautiful, and everything in between. I don't know where this came from. I wanted to see what the time was, and my phone rewarded me with this automatic poem. Unbelievable. Okay. Wow. This has never happened before. It's a good sign. Okay. Discontinuous repetition is the name of this poem, which I'm closing with. You'd like to keep things simple, elemental. Avoid tying yourself in knots over what you can't come to grips with. Dark drives, miscalculations, the facts around the clock. Or else, arrange your twined strands into arresting patterns. Or else, the ring of those two words irresistibly roping you in. Roped off is the alternative, but you know it's pointless to keep things separate. Pretend you are given enough rope. What will you do with it next? Rope-a-dope. While you consider options, I salute how quietly you defy flatness, your multi-purpose materiality. Who's you, by the way? It's difficult to say. I gets tangled up easily. The incidental beauty of non-objects. A reluctant shaman in the guise of a nuisance, a screeching child, promises to purge us subway riders of our general discontent. Let the wind of change speak through its squalls and bobble. Dada. Think of it as anti-poetry produced by tiny but sturdy windpipes. He too embraces the formless, rejects the regime. Mobilized is this experience of confusion where the familiar is made unfamiliar and vice versa. A woman massaged by her partner on the subway platform, his fists hot stones. You're a scared animal. Did I mishear that? Stone in Korean is also anniversary. Precious stones are reminders, but other types of petrifaction commemorate the past too, make it into an object. Take stones dangling from a wood beam, made to look yielding through sheer optical effect. On the opposite end of the spectrum, there are monuments. Puddles undo their monumentality, turning statues and towers into shimmering surfaces on the sidewalk. It's slippery outside. Hovering cautiously, we too negotiate between our aspirations for verticality and gravity's downward pull. A mirrored image is a non-material photograph, an event. The same goes for a choreography of banners waving in the air. They announce nothing but an otherwise invisible presence. It's always audible, though, as if chasing away something. Earworms, for one. What the wind has to say today, it says only in passing. Thank you.
That was Monica De La Torre, her reading in Rhinebeck in 2018. I wanted to say, before going further, that it has been such a privilege to be in the company of and with the energy of these places and poets. And while I definitely feel like each of the readings and locations featured on the program today were profound, and in reflection, I've been realizing those festivals at Stevens were crucial to my own development in many ways. And I send out my gratitude and best wishes to Ed Foster, who organized them. Next up is Leslie Scalapino, reading in Hoboken, 1996, which will be followed by Nathaniel Mackey, who read at the 1994
Stevens Festival. I'm going to read from a group of poems that's called New Time. Can you say that in Russian?
Я собираюсь прочитать поэму, которая называется «Новое время».
Why would they dismiss it because it's not the same? It exists because it's not the same. Rutting with bare feet, the snow falling after the man clothed in black in the black sky, is the neck cut out? In there, others, existence, one's neck cut out, blossoms, blossomed, in time. There's no time to oneself is the dawn occurring. It's rim. It has no rim. Pressure so that the mind comes into the social unit. It isn't done by people. There's no time to oneself. It's done by people only. The night, the dawn, there, the constructed unit being no time to oneself, standing being completely alone, standing as walking. We cannot speak as to concentrate on the constructed unit, nor sleep much in that causes an actual harmony, serial, or it's there after a while, not based on the similarities of the people. The night is exhaustion, rains, luminous night while running to the rise. That's dawn is when running to the rise later. The rise is the floating people. They're going into houses, killing is the fact. The fact is delicate, in existence even. One sees this is wild, Moscow, the social unit coming as the line of disintegration, as an exact seeing. The small person, there is no effort, which had been voluptuous, is where it exists. If the nature of this is struggling wall of birds flying that aren't on their own, if we're not going to do this with people, there isn't any existence. I'm relieved by the wall of birds. One is, in fact, struggling, and not with one's, their existence. It is a fact. This is a light relief. Is Moscow the woods, where the woods is simply that at present, but in day? Black thorax in it, in night, the physical body rests and occurring only at day?
Okay. Москва — это лес. Когда лес — это просто вот это, сейчас, но в дневное время. Черная глотка в нем, в ночи. Физическое тело покоится и возникает только днем.
People love patricians. Form is exhausting. One has to exist there. The physical body has no brown night. It's not movement as writing, to find the inside of action. Can't base society on the inside of action. It is not sustained. It doesn't exist. The neck hanging deeper, remove the night from the small person, one, running on the base of the road in black. The mind is action literally, not departing from that, being events or movement outside, which is inside. So the mind is collapsing into and as action. I can't rest at all now. This is despair. For Dante, if action of events, my mind, were the same as resting, brought to that, in the way the physical body rests outside, one is not having a rim, understanding rather than just get rid of one's mind and body and traveling at all. The physical body, inner, must continue to move only. I dreamed that fiery old 30s or early plane was flying by, sideways burning in the landscape, skidding on its side, a house trailer attached to its plane, burning in either evening or dawn. Dreamed I was going through and it was going by. Frame burning that's crate flying sideways, no one in it, a fiery house trailer attached to it. Disintegrating, traveling, and staying also. This dreamed after waking and falling asleep again, between morning and morning. Cold, freezing red sky, dusk, slice, reduction, not existing. Walking only as clear, one, outside, dark roses are in it, as freezing red's slice, a half of the night scene, which isn't there yet. Sky only is there, at all. Bright dark roses, not bud ever, in the slice only. Wild gap of dawn, not it, not so much the particular interpretation of events, but as that it happens at all. Filled events, catalyzed in one as physical gap, tormenting, is itself the break, that's the dawn, in fact. Break, expanded, that are going on, red flamed trees, leaves see is the occurrence outside. Black night filling gas, freezing black flow coming in, man destitute says he'll pump the gas, waiting at gas pit stop in night. Bowing is sky flow only, not as it is. Standing, walking as present, huge crows loaded a tree passed by me at night sleeping, yet the half-cracked black bud, night only, and thin blue sky, but as being oneself only, aren't existing either. Single thin wall waves thousands in the freezing sky and empty fields, and loaded on tree by me, night is half-cracked black bud in one as thin blue sky, the two single events at the present only. The pressure of the choked thick night in one single past event and thin present sky, the voluptuous choked thick on night, one can't breathe, the hundreds of huge slightly moving choked only at night, only is fear, single crows loading tree by thin wall of one at night, there dawn as realigning present dawn only, one could give up. As their dawn is thin blue of one. Thank you.
23. There's a jukebox playing in this ambiguous vehicle as it moves. Another cut was on the box as we pulled in. Fall back though we did once it ended, wings of a dove sung so sweetly we flew. The station hotel came into view. We were in Bamako. The same scene glimpsed again and again, said to be a sign. As of a life sought beyond the letter, preached of among those who knew nothing but. At yet another not yet cernible car came aboard. The 11s and the 12s locked in jihad at each other's throats. Bracketed light lately revealed, otherwise out. 11 men covered with mud, he said he saw. A pond filled with water, white as milk. Three chanting clouds that were crowds of winged men, and behind the third, a veiled rider, Sheikh Hamala. For this put under house arrest, the atavistic band at the station reminded us, mediumistic squall we'd have maybe made good on had the rails we rode been Ogun's. Souls in motion, conducive to motion, too loosely connected to be called a band. Yet if souls converse, vowed results from a dusty record, ages old. Toothed chorus, tight-jawed singer, sophic strain, strewn voice, sophic stretch. Cernobil Carr came aboard, called war the male ruse, muttered it under his breath, made sure all within earshot heard. Not that the hoarse Nyamakala flutes were not enough, not that enough meant something exact anymore. Bled by the effort, but sang even so, Keita's voice, Kante's voice, boast and belittlement, tossed back and forth. Gasira's lute was Jelimadi Tunkara's guitar, Sunjata, Sumagora, at each other's throat. Tenuous kin, we called our would-be band, Athic ensemble, run with as if it was a mistake we made good on, gone soon as we'd gotten there. Neither having gone nor not having gone, hovered. Book, if it was a book, thought wicked with wing stir, imminent sting. It was the book of having once been there we thumbed, all wish to go back let go. The whatsayer farther north, insisting a story lay behind the story, he complained he couldn't begin to infer. What made him think there was one, we wondered, albeit our what almost immediately dissolved as we came to a tunnel, the train we took ourselves to be on gone up in smoke, people ever about to get ready, unready, run between what, not what. And were there one, its name was ever after, a story not behind but in front of where this was. Obstinate were obstinate, so susceptible, thin etic itch, inextricable, demur. Beginningless book thought to have unrolled endlessly, more scroll than book, talismanic strum. As if all want were in his holding a note, only a half beat longer, another he was now calling love a big rope, sing less what he did than sig, anagramic sigh, from war the male ruse to were the new ruse, the whatsayer, sophic stir. Sophic slide of a cloud across tangency, torque, no book of a wished else, the where we thumbed. 24. Had gotten off the bus to pee in a field on the side of the road. The women farther in than the men, the low hems of their dresses held up, hips all but touching the ground. So it was I took it they meant low squat, low quat was code. Something heads tilted, bird-like, we heard, beaks what before had been lips. The world's raw want could it all have been so compressed. Land laid of one whom love set wandering, thin peninsular reef, abstract earth. Took between his lips her cusp of tongues, foretaste of heaven, ravenous word they heard urging them on, loquat spin. Teeth broke, biting her lip, intoxicant meat he'd have been warned against, took between his teeth, took between his own her bleeding lips lost luster, ravenous word taken back, bitten into, burst. Whereupon the whatsayer stepped in and said something. What plot there was, one of stepping on, stepping off. Entrances more than remembered, exits, gins making off with what where we had left, the slow toll it took, low grumbling of drums. What we the exacted spread as myth insisted, so that we for whom the word was long dead said so be it, that on such and such a day so and so woke up to a new life, rid of wish, moot would it were so, moot remorse, out no less a part of it than in, out, such the one place they might meet, mute school of what hurts, her husk of a voice, revive them in. 'Push come to shove, she'd be with him, he thought. Push came to shove. Raz was the city in ruins they ran away from. Legs bent, ready to spring, hell bent on heaven, lit between themselves, a star. Rubbed, made war on were, stayed within, caught in a flame she'd have warned was coming, the low wrath of Dadawa, painted on a wall, thin scribbling thick with what depth he read into it, sat sipping hemlock, it seemed. Another beating, business as usual, chapter 8,281,404. A tale too inane to be told, she'd say so unequal to the task, she'd sing. A sound so to the side of enoughness, a night in Tunisia, a chicken with lips. Had it been he, she advised, he'd have ignored it, that it was something he'd overheard, hit home. Irritant say, so abrasive, its rasp took up asking what but an unintended sign would get it said. This in a place called no such place, bird speech of a ghost named Not All There. Asked had he been hit, he answered yes. Wabda, he called it, as if it was a place. Made up name he made mean beat with clubs, kicked. What as if there was, long since fallen away. It was a place brought boots to the ribs, batons to the back. Wabda, he called it, said it was a place, knew if not already, he'd be hit. Split lift, sat ravished, overtaken, overwhelmed. Wabda, he named it, said it was a place, never to go back there again. Thank you.
That was Nathaniel Mackey reading from early sections of his ongoing series, Song of the Ondumbulu. We'll finish up the show by returning to recent Connecticut readings. Simone White reading from Orr on Being the Other Woman in Hartford, and Ada Limone reading The End of Poetry in Simsbury.
Poetry, that which had never failed, failed. All I invented were new ways to arrange things as time on my nerves. Every word they say, I say a lot of bad words in my poems, sorry. The kids call these trigger warnings. Trigger warning. Every word they say, another source of f***ing chagrin. That's actually an Emerson quote. Sorry. Sorry, Emerson. I love Ralph Waldo Emerson so much. In poetry as life, forms appear meaningless before my anger. I cannot find a logic, a silent, straight dope capable to pierce the exactitude of pure rage. Losing the original thread or intention of the poem emotionally, or its having spent itself in encounter with its master emotion. Who are you? Why are you in my life? What have you to do with me and the child? A study of Bersenbrugge, a study of Chief Keef, such that for several days I worked toward blending various techno-discursive aspects of the noun gorilla, the noun time. I recognized a multidimensional order of the ape and set about organizing how I wanted others to experience that point. I think that's what we call poetics, right? I think that's what it is. It made a lot of sense. My lover in his life and work suggested to me the possibility of promulgating this kind of information through machines, but I had not the skills. I told him so. Insofar as I had not, I had to stay mute. Before the possibility of time, I was lost. Something in a distance, occasional chimes, iteratively proposing I could bring a new kind of thing near, an unbearable demand that involved sloughing off understanding of the words that conform around the impression that I was being squeezed to death, or alternatively, invited to unbind myself. Often, it is difficult to remember recursively to address the emotion called anger by others, drawn I am, I mean, drawn dramatically into a course of events with only the most rudimentary sense of what might be accomplished or known. My father was a student of patriarchy, thus wasted some part of considerable genius, yet he gathered to raise his girl children as men, an act of love. The residual estrangement and sexual impossibility he began to understand quite late. Already he was dying. When advices or odors of retreat came into his language, he was panicking about the space of isolation he saw forming around me, how it was impossible for me to understand words outside of f***ing when they were coming to men, how they made no sense. There was no urban gesture of a black man I could fail to understand as I had been taught. We were together in a certain prismatic form of being lettered, such as the intestinal decay I perceived on him before the diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. See, it is so difficult to stay naming the situation I intend, anger, laughable in its failure to reflect being, at least among the persons here, among those loved, anger springing up relentlessly to cover over the truth, enumerating the transports of being loved and hated as an obvious and embodied problem of art. On that, the problem, the properties of this music, which has none of the features ascribed to it, because ascription is the problem. The considerable genius of many persons passes over me as I sleep. Cancers take me. I lose my crystal vessels, other talismanic objects I keep around, to a neglectful curator of African-American family history. I am distinctly and rightly paranoid about oncoming institutions. I have so little time to get my son upright before I am no more, or extinguished by the humor I find in stuff like downward class mobility. Urgently experiencing negative divisibility, I cannot picture it to you. Composing on Pope L, a little treatise comes into my mind on nigger in the title materiality. Also, washed up, future in the problem of diminishing longevity. All distances in space and time are shrinking. Martin Heidegger. I am not humorless. I am amused by the necessity of reading Heidegger because I can read. In the same way, I am able to love a man because I can love. No one says, we can be safe together because we are together. This is where there is next to go, what I'm struggling to get to, the torment of experiencing the fullness of imagination outside this form, this problematic of possible injury, the certainty of it, unto the end of this order, where every foray into vision is an occasion for attack. There is no philosophical language for the balm of this injury and horror of its recession. The durational poverty of seeing, I point to this other place of ongoing work, but they will just want to watch the thing happen or make me make it happen for them. But if you don't want to get hurt, you can't be in it.
This is a poem I wrote at the very beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020. And people, I've said this before, but people would call me and be like, don't you think that now we've needed poetry now more than ever? And I was like, yeah, but also a vaccine. And good health care. Rent stabilization. And it felt sort of funny to be the person that was like, oh yes, because I do love poetry and I believe in its power, but I also believe in the limitations of language and where kindness and human touch and sweetness can come in. And so what happened was I was kept trying to write, and every subject matter was failing me. And then, of course, that list of failed subjects matters ended up being the end of poetry. Enough of osseous and chickadee and sunflower and snowshoes, maple and seeds, samurai shoot. Enough cues, girl. Enough of thus and prophecy and historic farmer and faith and our father and his of thee. Enough of bosom and bud, skin and God not forgetting, and star bodies and frozen birds. Enough of the will to go on or not go on, or how a certain light does a certain thing. Enough of the kneeling and the rising and the looking inward and the looking up. Enough of the gun, the drama, and the acquaintance of suicide, the long lost letter on the dresser. Enough of the longing of the ego and the obliteration of ego. Enough of the mother and the child and the father and the child. And enough of the pointing to the world, weary and desperate. Enough of the brutal and the border. Enough of can you see me? Can you hear me? Enough I am human. Enough I am alone and I am desperate. Enough of the animal saving me. Enough of the high water. Enough sorrow. Enough of the air and its ease. I am asking you to touch me.
Those pieces bring to an end this month's Poet Radio. Thank you for listening and stay tuned to WGXC Radio for Open Ears.